that sounds so trivial and it sounds so earthly, but God, if we would just pause every day and reflect of who you truly are. Majesty is just a term that we put to it, but it goes far beyond that. Kings and Lord of Lords, those are words that we understand. But God, there are no words in our human language that can define who you truly are. And God, if we allow that power and that majesty that we sing about, Lord, the greatness of who you are, we allow that to reflect into our lives. And Father, the power that comes with that, the joy that comes with that, and the abilities you give us. God, I just pray as we think through that, as we sing that song, that we just stand in awe before you. And Lord, as we study tonight, I pray you continue to open our minds and our hearts, and we thank you for giving us the truth that we can base our hope on and our faith on. And God, as we study, I pray that you just speak through me to the understanding and the knowledge of all of us. And pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 2. We're going back into the study, trying to get back into a little bit of where we've been. But we're going to skip over a few verses. Paul, in this section of Romans, is repeating himself in different ways, different illustrations. He started up in verse 17, and he's trying to really basically here show that the Jews who thought they could just obey the law, and that was enough. They thought they could be good enough, and that would be enough. They thought they had the ties in because they were Jews. And Paul really distorted that, or at least shot that down in our understanding, starting at verse 17 through 24, because of their hypocrisy, because they were saying one thing and they were doing something else, and they were boasting. And verse 17 says, because you're a Jew, you're resting in the law and you're simply boasting in the fact. And so then he goes down in verses 25 through 29, which we're going to skip over tonight, but just going to mention them, about because of their trust in their rights. And so they started talking again about the circumcision. And they started in verse 25, it says, for circumcision verily profiteth thou keep the law, but if thou be a breaker of the law, then the circumcision is made uncircumcised. And basically what that means, if you understand that whole concept, when Abraham was told by God, the Abrahamic covenant back into the nation of Israel, when God started that, and so God allowed that to be a sign of the circumcision was a part of the Israel or Jewish rites. That was the thing that they did to show that they were obeying what God had asked them, what God had told them to do. In fact, you find Christ, when he is born, they take him to the temple and they take him and he is circumcised. And so it was something that was done by a ritual, by a rite that God established. So in their eyes, they were still obeying God. And this is the biggest issue that Paul is trying to address, because they were obeying what they thought God wanted them to have. But in doing so, that mindset and that heart came from a rejection of Christ, because Christ set up something different. At this point in Paul's ministry, the crucifixion, the cross, the resurrection, everything had already happened. And so they didn't want or didn't believe that he was the Messiah, that they needed to accept his way now, because the old way was no longer there. It's a completely different system. Hebrews says that he was the final sacrifice, that he was the spotless lamb, that he is the ending of any of the Jewish customs that God would recognize as righteous. So Paul's dealing with a mindset, but he's also dealing with a heart set. They were so hardened in their hearts. And you've seen that through the Gospels, and we've studied that through the book of Matthew and through the Gospels when God begin to speak in parables. Why did God begin to speak in parables? Because they rejected him. In fact, in I believe chapter 12, and they were giving all of his miracles and all the things that he was doing, and they were contributing them to Beelzebub. He was given Satan was given the credit for all that he was able to do. And so when you pull that all into perspective, in order for them to have this mindset, they had to have a rejection of Christ in their heart. And that's the battle that Paul is facing. And you know, we are facing that same battle today, aren't we? We're facing that battle of the need of Christ. Because many people are stuck on the religion. Many people are stuck on the denominations. Many people are stuck on translations. Many people are stuck on everything else except the fact it's about the relationship. And I am a firm believer that I believe before the trumpet sounds, that is going to be the only message we need to preach. Nothing else. The message of Christ. It is the relationship of Christ. I think we are going to go full circle back to the message that Paul and the apostles gave that cost them their lives. Because I believe that same message is going to cost us our lives. Some in the third world countries are already facing that. Already. When we see that, to me, the importance of Paul's message, we see the mindset of the Jews. We understand that mindset has to be there because of the hardened heart and the rejection of Christ. That's all they have. And so Paul's simply saying, as he begins again with that circumcision, and saying, you know, if you follow the law in verse 25, and if you keep the law, but if you break one part of the law, then what good is your circumcision? What good is your ritual? What good is your religion? You know, there are going to be a lot of church members going to hell. Plain and simple. Because they're basing something else. They're not concerned about the relationship. And listen, we got to pound that into our minds, our hearts. Because if we don't get the relationship fixed, if we don't keep that relationship tight with God, we're going to fall. That's the whole crux of the gospel message. It's your relationship with Christ and how well you maintain it. Those two phrases, those two sentences are the umbrellas over the whole gospel message, the whole New Testament writing. Your relationship with Christ and how are you maintaining it? Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. And I look back in history and you look back and see the church history and you go back and see where the different started all the way up through the Pilgrims and then it started to the Quakers and then they broke off from there to the Anabaptists and the Baptists and then the Methodists and you've got all these denominations now. And if you just take one moment and look at how many different denominations and different levels of the same denomination and you know, you've got Southern Baptist, American Baptist, you got ups and downs, you got tons of denominations. And that has been the greatest problem with the kingdom of God. Because divided you fall, united you stand. And we have truly divided the cause of Christ. Man has divided the cause of Christ. Now again, men decided they wanted to do it different because this man decided it should have been done this way and that guy decided it should have been this way or this guy interpreted scripture this way, this one interpreted it this way. And, you know, as with everything, God created it great and man got a hold of it and messed it up. Man messed it up. So I think it's going to go back to that mindset. It's going to go back to that. Listen, it's about the kingdom of God. It's about the Christ relationship. If you don't have Christ in a relationship, it doesn't matter what else you have. It doesn't matter what church you go to. It doesn't matter what Bible you carry. It doesn't matter who you are affiliated with. You're going to hell, period. And so that's the message I believe we need to really start preaching and we really need to start getting out there to the people around us. Because I truly believe in Matthew 6:33 when it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and then everything else will fall into place. Everything else will work. The problem is we've been too worried about the everything else and we forgot about the relationship. And it's all become a religion instead of a relationship. And so when Paul now jumps, we're going to jump down to verse 28 because when we get to verse 28, he makes a statement and he's talking for he is not a Jew. First, let's look at verse 20. 26 sort of is the transition between the two, saying that if at the uncircumcised person keeps the law, the righteousness of the law, shall his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? So the Jew, if you're circumcised and you break the law, that makes you no better than those who are uncircumcised. So, those who are uncircumcised, if they keep the law, that makes them as righteous as those who are circumcised. And Paul said, so what's your argument? What are you going to stand this on? What are you going to base this on? So then he goes down in verse 28. He says, for he is not a Jew which one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. So what Paul now gets down to is saying, listen, it's not about the outside of a man. It's not about what that man has as a rite, as a ritual, or what they do on the outside. It's not about how well we look like a Christian. It's not about how well we perform. And that is what has come with the religious belief. And if you sit back far enough and you sit back hard enough and you think and you look and you pray, you will see that most churches are all about performance, not about the heart change. If you perform like a Christian, you'll be elected deacon. You perform like a Christian, everybody's going to want to be like you. You perform and you're in. And that performance mindset is sending many Christians or many so-called Christians to hell. It's not about a performance. Listen, if you and I could perform that well, we would be as the Jews claiming, I'm righteous because I don't break the law. We could do that. Listen, I guarantee you every one of us broke something today. Whether in deed or thought, we did something wrong. We said something wrong. We thought something wrong. And so there's no way. And Paul is. I love this section because Paul is saying, listen, you're never going to be that good. You're never going to perform. And I'll break it down in parents. Parents, we have taught our children to perform. To perform. And I think in most cases we've lost the sincerity of the relationship. I see it everywhere. See it in my life, see it in my kids, see my grandkids, see it in your kids, see it in your grandkids, see it everywhere. And we need to get back away from the performance. It's not about performing. Paul is doing a phenomenal job here in verse 28 when he says this, because these verses form basically the conclusion of 17 through 29. And as he sees this conclusion, as he begins again saying that a true, genuine Jew is not a master of outward or external things. He's not a master. Why? Because he can't perform. He may be a Jew. He may be doing the best thing. We may see people living the best lives they can, but they're not going to perform enough. They're not going to do it well enough. It's not going to work. So the outward or the external things, and again, all the things that the Jews do. And it was kind of one of the times that I was flying in an airport, and there was a Jewish man there, and it was time for prayer. And I mean, he was unraveling the leather on his arm and the patch that has all the things, and he was looking around and he was facing the right direction and he was doing and everybody was just in awe watching this man, like, wow, he's religious. He's good. And he's not. And how many times do we see people that we think, wow, they're really righteous. They must be really good. And then you'll hear about them later on, or something will come out. That's one thing God has promised. What a man does in secret, God will make sure it's out in the open. We need to be careful what our secret lives are about, because God knows the secrets of our life. God knows what we do inwardly and secretly. So in this thing, Paul again is saying that the outward external things, and you know, in our life, so what does that mean? You know, coming to church, being the great Christian, helping people, doing the good, living a good life, giving your tithes, doing all the things that church has required or church has placed. The Bible has said it's okay. The Bible says this is what you do. We begin to be doers, which leads to performers, which leads to very little relationship. And I'm a firm believer that this has probably been the downfall of Christendom in the many years before leading up to what we have today. And now all of a sudden, man, we're losing our rights. We're losing the things. People are standing up and they're doing all kind of crazy things to the point to where the liberal people cannot even define who gets pregnant. If you've seen that battle on the internet, it's unbelievable. It's they get pregnant. Not women, they get pregnant. And we are living in a society that was, by the way, a professor of law teaching at one of our law schools. It is so messed up. But we perform well, don't we? We perform well in here, don't we? We perform well in our Christian life, don't we? But it got messed up anyway. You see, we can't change the world, but we sure can be used by God to change the world we live in our little world. And I think Christendom as a whole has got on the performance instead of the sincere relationship. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying people aren't saved. But it's more about the performance. And so Paul, he shoots that down completely in this text. It's not about the performance. It's not about the outside things. And he simply says genuine circumcision is not the physical rite. Rather, the genuine Jew is again, verse 28, the outwardly, neither is that the circumcision, the outward appearance, which is outward thing, verse 29, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart. You see, now Paul turns around and says, listen, circumcision is a good thought. Back in the Old Testament, when God gave it to Abraham to set the Jewish or the Israel nation apart, that the Jews were to do this, it wasn't just so that they could be known as doing a rite or a ritual. I truly believe that it was a foreshadowing of the circumcision of the heart. It was cutting out the junk of the heart. It was cutting off all that sinfulness, cutting out all those things. And so that's what he's saying. It's the true circumcision of the heart is the inward thing. And it goes on in verse 29 to say that it is of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. And so when you see this, Paul brings this whole thought process to a conclusion. And he's saying, listen, the outward things, the performance things, how we dress, how we look, how we do, how we sing, how we. Sounds like a TV show. All the things that we perform and do can never, ever, or should never, ever take place of the sincerity of our heart. And yet I know I've preached sermons with a wrong heart. And I'll bet you have done ministry with the wrong heart. You've maybe sang songs with the wrong heart. You've done ministry. You've talked. You've done things with the wrong heart. And that, then you go back and pull scripture together and you say, okay, that's why everything that I have done in a ministry is going to be tried by fire. Well, why is it going to be tried by fire? Because there's things I've done in ministry with the wrong heart. Those things are going to be burned up. The things that I've done with the right heart, with the right mind, with my heart where it needs to be, those are the things that are going to come out looking like gold. And we, some in Christendom, think that they've got a whole pile of jewels stocked up in heaven until they start lighting the fire to them. And then still they start seeing. Because why? Because we put performance out there. We want to perform for God. God doesn't want us to perform, at least not for this concept. They were looking at all of this for their goodness, looking at all of this for their righteousness. And what Paul's doing is something that we need to do every day, is we need to get people to realize they're lost. We need to get people to realize that they're sinful. Get people to realize it's not about how good you are, what you do. It's not about rules and regulations. It's about the relationship with Christ. When God says, no man come unto the Father but through me, Christ the Son, I think he really meant it. It wasn't just a good suggestion. I don't think there's an optional choice here. No man is going to go to God except through his Son, Jesus Christ. One of the songs I heard on the radio in my travels this last week was pretty awesome. And it started out, and thank God for Sunday morning is what it is. You can YouTube it, look it up. It's probably not a song that I would ever sing in church, but it's a phenomenal song because it starts out saying from the bar room to the back pew. And it starts out saying all the things I used to be to all the things I now am. And then it starts out to all my Saturday nights, and then it goes to the Sunday mornings, and then it goes to thank God for Sunday morning, thank God for 3:16, thank God for the words in red, and thank God for the blood that was bled. I'm telling you, that's it. That, thank God for Sunday morning. And y'all, when did Christ rise from the grave? Thank God for Sunday morning. There's more to that song than just what we think on Sunday morning. Thank God for Sunday morning. And that thought process has stuck with me, and just studying through this, I'm like, wow, that fits pretty good. It's about our hearts. It's about our relationship. It's not about you looking at the person beside you. It's not about you looking at somebody else's heart, somebody else's relationship. It's about you honestly looking in the mirror and say, you need help. You need fixed. It's not about fixing our world. Is our world messed up? Oh boy, is it ever. Don't worry about fixing our world. Worry about fixing your heart. And God will fix the world through you. It's amazing how we need a different paradigm shift in our mind. We need to start looking at life and thinking at life differently. Because listen, you and I, don't matter how big of a whatever you want to carry, doesn't matter how well you want to make things work, doesn't matter how you're going to try to vote, change, you ain't going to do nothing. All you can do is your part. But it has to come. And that verse 29 is so important because it's the circumcision of the heart. Now, King James puts it in saying that in the Spirit. I think a better translation of that is by the Spirit. It's stating the same thing if you think through the context of it. By the Spirit of God, we have the circumcision in the heart. So it's nothing you're going to do. You're not going to make yourself right. You're not going to make yourself clean. The only way that I know to have a true circumcision of the heart is to just lay out before God and surrender it all to God. Give all the issues to God. Give all the worries to God. And then as that heart is surrendered, as that heart is circumcised, as that heart is looked upon, circumcision of the heart is the one that separates us from the world and dedicates us to God. There is no other way. Doesn't matter how good you perform, doesn't matter how good you do whatever, do it. But it doesn't matter. It's all about the circumcision of the heart that allows us to be separated. That's what the scripture says. Are we not called out from? Are we not separated from? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 4, God really sees us from the inward side, saying that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Listen, when you give to God, and don't tell nobody about it, when you do things for ministry, do things for God, help people out, you don't stand up and say, I want you to know. Do them secretly, and then you watch what God does openly. You watch the doors he opens. Linda and I were talking about how God just, man, when you just wait for God to open the doors, it's amazing the journey and the trail he puts you on. Just let him do that. Let him open them. Let him keep going. It's amazing when we do that. But Matthew 6:4 says the same thing. And basically, when you go to Hebrews 4:12, it's the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder the soul, the spirit of the joints and the marrow, and discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. How do we know? How do we do our part in the circumcision of the heart? The word of God. You see, it was the law, Paul says, and we'll see this as we study through. The law is what Paul showed Paul how much he needed Christ. It's not living by the law that gets him to God. It's living the law shown how much he needed Christ. And I think as he's working with these Jews, as he's looking in this concept of these individuals, I think the same thing is true in the world in which we live today. Because our world is going so far south so quickly. People look good. We're not doing all that crazy stuff. We don't believe in that crazy nonsense stuff. We're all right. We're doing good. And all of it. I can't lose the word performance because that is sticking so hard in my head. Because I truly believe that we may have performed much better than we've worried about our relationship. And it's not about that. Not about the outer. It's not about what we do. It's not about how well we do. It's about the relationship, because then we do well, then we do right, then we do what God wants us to do when the circumcision of the heart is done first. And so my challenge to me is every day we've got to realize I've got to do something. I've got to pray. I've God, start cutting. Cut it out. God, whatever is going on, whatever attitude, whatever words, whatever thought, whatever action, God, whatever it is, cut it out. Take it out so that they can see no one but you. It's not about performing. It's about a God, because the latter part of that, whose praise is not of men, but of God. If you want to perform, you'll get the applause of men. You want the praise of God? You'll circumcise your heart every day, every time you can. That's what pleases God. And when God is happy, when God is pleased, guess what? You will be able to accomplish many things for Him. You will have strength beyond strength. You'll have joy beyond joy. You'll be able to overcome the craziness of our world. But it's not going to happen until you circumcise the heart. No performance is going to get you there. So that's my challenge to me, and I trust as we're going to end it there. We'll jump into chapter 3 next week. Next week starts chapter 3, and it realized that it's going to say again, Paul's going to simply say, you know, you just simply don't believe. The bottom line. And so we're going to study through the unbelief as we study through chapter 3 of Romans. But let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the study tonight. We pray as we continue to allow our minds and hearts to be open and honest. God, we will see if we ask and we desire to see through your eyes. We will see how the performance has been a big part, too big of a part of me.